Good morning and welcome to worship at Anderson First United Methodist Church. It's wonderful to see each one of you here. And those of you that are worshiping with us online, we are grateful for each one of you joining us. I am Reverend Corrine Boroff, and assisting me in leading worship today, your program says Jim Ault. He is ill today. And so I very much appreciate, and you will also, the fact that Mark Finger will be filling in as our worship leader. Mary Mendel is also assisting in leading worship. Our music will be led by our talented Arrows of the Almighty, and we appreciate them being here. Our communion servers this morning are Stacy and Sam Miller, Dean Baer and Dick Hines, Bill and Mary Brown. So we welcome each one of you and welcome them in assisting. We will be receiving communion today online. I hope that you will encourage you to receive your own elements and join us in this gift that Christ offers to each one of us. Here in person, there will be, again, three ways that we can receive Holy Communion. The first is coming up to the altar. You may come up to kneel. You may break off a piece of the bread, dip it into the cup, and receive the bread and juice at the same time. There are two stations that will be on the floor. Those stations, you will receive a piece of the bread. You will then dip it into the cup and receive the bread and juice at the same time. If you are in your seat, we will have those that will come around. There are yellow cards that you may lift up in your seat, and that way they know where to locate you, and they will come to you with the bread and the juice. We also collect for our emergency utility fund. If you would like to give toward that, and have something that you have with you, there are baskets here. If you come forward on the altar, there are two bowls. You may also leave what you would like in the wooden boxes in the back. That is fine as well. The bread today is a special gift for us from Sarah Goff. This is Janine Spurgeon's daughter, so thank you, Sarah. Today is our family ministry showcase. Immediately following this worship service, you are invited to stay. The children and youth will be presenting their talents for you, and you will be amazed. If it's anything even close to what we've had in the past years, you will have a lot of fun seeing where they spend their time and their talents outside of where you see them on Sunday morning. The spring Bible study continues. This is on Wednesdays throughout this month, on Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. in the North-South Parlor. Encourage you to join me. If you learn anything from the message this morning, we'll continue. This study relates a lot to Paul and his ministry, so invite you to come. Joy Lunch is coming up. It's May 16th. Marnie Tupling will be our presenter. She is a greenhouse specialist. She's back by popular demand. And so invite you to come sign up by Wednesday the 13th. And I'm sorry, that should be 14th. I can't type or read. That reserves your reservation and also the meal. The meal will be by our sorority, so invite you to come and join us for that special event. We are making disciples for Jesus Christ when we are living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. Let us stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ is here. Thank you. As you return to your seats, let us center our hearts for worship.
Morning. Please stand as you're able and join in the call to worship. Sometimes the news we receive is too good to be true, and we have a hard time believing it. That's true. We're like Jesus' disciples, Thomas, who doubted the resurrection. That's just where faith comes in, believing where we have not seen. Christ is risen. Christ is with us now.
Good morning. My name is Allie, and I'm the Director of Family Ministries here at Anderson First, and I invite all of the children down for our children's moment this morning. Running because he wants to get a good spot. All right, Jackson, would you like to open up our bag for us? Have you guessed what's in it? You want me to give you a hint? You've played with this before. Want to open it up and see what it is? Yeah, I kind of did. What is it? What is it? Do you remember what it's called? What is it? No, not a spirograph. No. A kaleidoscope. That's what it is. Very good. It's a kaleidoscope. Yes, do you know what is in the bottom of a kaleidoscope? You can pass it around so everyone can get a turn. What's in the bottom of it? Gems, beads. Look at it and pass it down. Gems and beads. Now, what happens when you look in? It changed. What happens when you look into it? The kaleidoscope, every time you shift it, it always changes, right? But we can look in the bottom and we know what's inside the kaleidoscope. We know it's gems and beads and other sparkly things. When you cover it, it's black. Very good, because it needs the light. Yes, you can pass it around. That's right. We know what's inside the kaleidoscope never changes, but everything around it changes. And I was thinking about that earlier this week, and I wanted to talk to you a bit about our new theme for this month, which is Power Up. And our simple truth is, I am loved. Now, what do you think a kaleidoscope has to do with love? What do you think? It's kind of tricky, right, Caroline? Oh, because the beads spread around and the God's love spread. That's a great observation. I like that. Why else? What makes you think? Mason. Love for someone can change over time. We're getting very close. You know what I thought about? The fact that everything around us is always changing, but God's love never changes. There's nothing we can do or say or think or feel that can make God love us less. And I think that that is something to really celebrate, right? So all month long, we're going to be celebrating the love of God that is never changing, all right? Even though everything around us changes. All right, let's go back to our spots now.
Christ is risen, and in the midst of our routine lives, we are asked to do his work. But it seems like it's getting harder these days. Some days it seems as all we can do is to tend to those close to us, yet Christ is there. He asks us to keep going and to renew our awareness of God's presence in our lives and to give generously and freely. We may never know how much our gifts are multiplied or how far they will reach. And for that reason, we should never be surprised at what God can do with them. Let us give now to God.
Battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna say.
Lord, we offer you tokens of our lives and our blessings. Take these lives and these gifts and use them to work in this world for the healing and reconciliation of all people to you. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes and do some presentations, so I'm going to invite James Serks, Abby Mercer, and Emma Coates to come up here and join me up at the front. Good morning, James. James, as of yesterday, is officially now an Anderson University graduate in engineering. In engineering, which is way beyond anything I can understand. He has sung in the Sanctuary Choir and the Wesley Chorale for the last 4 years. He has been steadfast and faithful in his commitment and in sharing his talent. Are you looking for a job? Okay, well, so if you don't have a job, just let him know, you know. Right now the plan is that he will be moving back to Michigan. But James, thank you so much for your work and your talent and sharing that with us. You will be missed. So. Abby might be a bit more familiar to you in that she's not only been singing with the Sanctuary Choir in Wesley Corral, but has been the director of the Children's Choir for the past 2 years. So if she were kneeling down here and facing that direction, you'd probably recognize her if she waves her hand for the motions of the kids. But she has just done a remarkable job. She has taught them, laughed with them, loved them, and we are very sorry to see her go. Some personal circumstances means that Abby has to leave us, but we send her with gratitude and love for the work that she has done here. She is a music education major, yay! And Abby, thank you for all that you've done. When one door closes, another one opens. So I'm very happy to introduce Emma Copes, who will be also singing with the choirs next year and will be taking over as the director of the children's choir here. And I want to give credit to Abby, who helped us find Emma. Emma has already worked with the kids a couple of times, and she has just completed her freshman year as a music education and music theater major, and we are delighted to have you join us this fall. And let's offer praise and thanksgiving to all the three of these young people for the work they're doing.
We are fortunate to have those three people working with us and been with us, so good luck to you in the future. Let us join our hearts in prayer at this time. In the midst of all that occupies our time and energy, we need sacred time for you, O God, to reorient ourselves. It is easy to get so caught up in what others are doing that we forget that you are our center, our rock, our true home. Nudge us back towards you, Holy One, because there is much to distract us. We want to focus on you. We need to focus on you. For a few moments, let us sit in silence together while we turn ourselves to you, God, and listen for your still, small voice. Thank you, gracious God, for never giving up on us, for forgiving our countless times, and for welcoming us back because we are prone to wander. We pray that others may know your grace and your forgiveness. If there are ways we can show your love to others, open our eyes to the opportunities. Help us to see you in those we meet. God, we are so aware of many needs in this world. We ask your Spirit of wholeness and hope to rest on those on our hearts, those we know who are in need, and your children around the world who desperately need you today. It is in your power and your presence that we pray. Amen. Today's New Testament reading comes from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering thoughts with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on his mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked, and the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. This is God's word for God's Easter people. Thanks be to God.
Last year in the National Toy Hall of Fame, there was a particular item, a particular toy that was inducted. It was the Transformer. It's been around for over 20 years. It was inducted into the Hall of Fame with My Little Pony, just so there's something for everybody here. But the Transformers, I'm sure you have seen those. You've watched little kids play with those. You may have tried it yourself. I have. My boys had them. But they are the robot, that kind of humanoid robot-looking thing, that with a few twists and turns and clicks and flips, it turns into something completely different. It turns into a car or a truck or a tank or a rocket. There's all kinds of things that they can, vehicles usually, that they turn into. And so this is what the Transformer is. It just makes a complete change. And our title today is Terminators to Transformers. Well, when I think of Terminator, the very first thing that comes to mind is Arnold Schwarzenegger in the movie called The Terminator, right? And in that, he's a horrible robotic kind of human, and he's out to destroy lives. And I've not actually watched the movie. It's not kind of on my hit list. However, I've read about it. I've seen trailers for it, and I've heard my boys talk about it. Today, it'd be more like we would watch probably X-Men. iRobot is kind of, there's some of that in there, kind of this futuristic type of movie. But then 35 years ago, Terminator 2 came out, or T2. And something really interesting happened. And again, I've read about this. I haven't watched it. But something very interesting happened because he was back. The characters of Terminator, the first Terminator movie, were back, even all the villains. But this time, Schwarzenegger's character, this kind of robotic human being, had been transformed, had been reprogrammed, according to the movie. But he had changed completely and was more the guardian angel of the woman and child that were forever being harassed and chased and villains after her. Became the guardian angel of them, completely changed. Well, this is, if we were to look in the Bible for the greatest transformation that ever took place, it would be this story. The transformation of a person's life would be the story of Saul to Paul. Let me give you a little bit of an idea of what Paul was like, and this is part of my history. In every science classroom, there's a periodic table. You'll find it somewhere in there. And in the lower left-hand corner, there is an element that's listed, one of the 109 elements on the periodic table. This is number 55, and it's cesium. Now, cesium just seems like something we really don't ever hear about. It seems pretty harmless. Nothing's going to happen here. It's just one little element among 108 others. And yet, cesium is very unique in that in its out, and this may not make sense to anybody who's not a scientist, but in the outer ring, the outer core of an element, It only has one electron. So, cesium is always looking to pair up with another element that doesn't have enough electrons in the outer element. And when it does, it's explosive, literally. When cesium pairs up with oxygen, it explodes. When it pairs up with chlorine or bromine or iodine, it explodes. It's always looking for those elements that it can pair up with. It's like a little waiting time bomb. This was Paul, or Saul at this time. This is what he was like. You mention Christians. He gets word of a Christian, and he explodes in his passion to destroy them. That's what he was like. The very first time we hear about Saul, who became Paul, the very first time we hear about him in Scripture is in Acts 6 and 7, and he is there when Stephen, the very first Christian to be martyred, to be killed publicly for believing in Jesus Christ, Paul was there. I'm guessing he probably also had a stone in his hand. Stephen was stoned to death. If you can imagine what a horrific event that would have been. Not even to be Stephen, but just to look on something like that. And then in his final words in Acts 7, Stephen says, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." And he dies. Paul saw this. If not in the moment, he probably just thought in that moment, good, another Christian gone. Another loud Christian gone. But if you can imagine, after he met Jesus Christ himself, when he was actually blinded, not eating or drinking or sleeping or doing anything else, he wasn't capable of doing anything for himself. Can you imagine the guilt that was swirling around Stephen being one among the many that he had been responsible for not only torturing, but for their death? He would have lived with that, dealt with that. It was life-changing for him. Jesus Christ, the power of Christ's love for each one of us is transforming. And you may think, well, I'm not a Terminator, but have you ever resisted someone who was attempting to do good in the world for someone that you may have thought was not worth it? Terminator of God's love for someone that you deemed unlovable, that's when we participate in a Paul-like state. Or Saul. His name actually didn't change. It went from Greek to the Roman, and it was changed. He was known differently and called differently. But his life did change significantly, passionately. His passion became Jesus Christ and everything that Christ represented it. We back to the Transformer toy that changed into something that was just kind of odd, something completely different than it was standing there on the table, is this kind of robotic human form with arms and legs and a head such as they were and became a car or a tank or a rocket. When the love of Jesus Christ comes into our hearts and into our lives, we are transformed into vehicles of God's love. We too go through a transformation. And we are to carry that with us into the world so that the world will know that Jesus Christ's good news through us. Paul went on to write 13 letters of the New Testament, established churches where there were no churches for Jesus Christ. His power that he received from the transformation, out of the love, he took Jesus Christ to people that were considered unlovable at the time, beyond the graces of God. He took it to them. He became that vehicle. And so should we. I wanted to share a little poem because when I make those kinds of statements, I think, how? How are we to do that? Well, we know how to love. We know acts of kindness. But let me leave you with this image, and it's a very short poem by Edmund Markham. He drew a circle that shut me out. He said, heretic, rebel, a thing to flaunt. But love and I had wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. That's God's love. That's what we are to be. Even when we are rejected, when God's love is rejected, draw a circle to bring them in. As we prepare for Holy Communion, let us come to reconnect with that love, that amazing grace of our God, as we sing together in preparation, Amazing Grace. Children of God, let us come out of the darkness and join together in the light of God's love. You are invited to this table of life as we join with each other and seek communion with God. God is with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to our Creator. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give you our thanks and praise, O God. You created the world by speaking life into being. Through your creation, music was brought to life. Created in your image, each of us carries this song in our hearts. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, We praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. Hosanna in the highest. You sent Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life. And in doing so, he offered to all the gift of new life. We thank you, God, for this incredible gift of Jesus, the Word made flesh. Through his resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us through the grip of sin and death to make us a new people with a new song. It is as the renewed, redeemed, enlivened people of God that we gather this morning and remember together that on the night before he died, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, saying, in the same way he took the cup, saying, longing to experience and share the fullness of life that you offer, we take this bread and this cup and celebrate with joy the eternal life offered to us through Jesus Christ as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and cup. As we come to your table, we unite and invite you to fill us. We invite your Spirit to lead us to be the body of Christ in the world. All glory and honor are yours, eternal God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as the children of God, we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite those who will be assisting during communion to please come forward. As they are coming forward, a reminder, they will receive Holy Communion and then be prepared to serve you. Gracious God, we have tasted your nourishing and nurturing presence. We accept you into our bodies and into our lives. Together at this table, you have offered us life. Together, by your grace, we accept the life you offer and we give you thanks. Amen. Christ's transforming love made it possible for Paul to later on write his letter to the church in 1 Corinthians. He says, "Love is patient, love is kind, love never fails. Go in the power of Christ's love. Amen."